Good morning, 11:30 service. Look at you guys. This may be the best looking service we have. Right here, yeah. It's really good to see you guys here this morning. Thanks for coming today. We're starting this brand new message series, asking the question, do we even need God? And so we've been preparing for this for quite some time, and I hope that you're ready also. Before we get into it, I want to let you know that we will be having a response time in just a few minutes after the message. And so this will be your chance to respond back to God based on what He is saying to you. And you can talk to our staff and our deacons, our elders, our leadership about what God's doing in you. And so I want to encourage you to be ready now for that response time with your card. Get a card ready. In fact, you can reach in the seat right in front of you and pull one of those cards out and go ahead and be filling it out now. See, so you're the best, and there's digital ones too. So you're the best looking crowd, but the least moving, like you just froze in place. When I said reach for the card, you went, not me, not doing it. Just grab a card. It ain't going to bite you. Just grab a card. There's no snake in there. Just grab it and start. Thank you very much. Start filling it out now. In just a little while, we'll have our response time together. And we love getting cards back from you guys. It tells us how to pray. Tells us what direction to go next week a little bit. I mean, it really is good. So be ready for that in just a few minutes. So this series is really all about asking that question, do we even need God? And maybe you're here today and this really isn't your question. You know, maybe you've been in church all your life, and or maybe you've had an experience with God and you're very confident about who He is and you've seen Him at work in your life, and you're just not doubting whether we need God or not because you live your life every day needing God. Maybe you're here today because you're kind of the opposite of that, and maybe you've kind of been out and away and you haven't been having and cultivating a relationship with God, and you're here today because somebody cared about you and invited you to be part of this today. They wanted you to come and be part of this discussion together as a group, and today I really hope that you'll lean in a little bit rather than leaning back. I hope that you'll listen because this series is designed for you as we begin to have this discussion together, and then we'll be continuing it together in life groups during the week. So I don't know what kind of background you have, whether it's, you know, solid walking with God or whether it's kind of like, I'm not sure. But the question gets asked a lot, do we even need God? You know, like my friend Amy, who had been in church in my youth group for a long time, and boy, in youth group days, you know, she was all about it. She was all about walking with God, and she knew God. I watched as she turned her life over to Christ. She was baptized. You know, she became a leader in the youth group, and boy, she really, really had a growing, thriving, abiding relationship with God as a teenager. Then she went to college, and she got connected up with a different crowd, and she got up with a boyfriend who she now lives with, and you know, she lives with him and she doesn't think she has any need for God. She walked away from the body of Christ and a relationship with God, and frankly, she just doesn't see where she really needs it anymore. Or maybe like Jesse, you know, Jesse is someone who was in and out of church as a child and as a teenager in the South, you know, and much later as a late teenager, Jesse came out as a lesbian. And people in the church shunned her. They judged and condemned her. They had nothing but nasty, ugly for her. And they basically ran her the heck out of church because how dare she claim to be a lesbian. And Jessie wrote this note to me. She said, fundamentally, morally, and ethically, I cannot follow a religion that would advocate such hate, judgment, and ignorance. Or maybe like Wade. Wade is a former pastor. He had my job somewhere. And he spent 15 years preaching the gospel and leading people to Christ, leading a church. You know, I mean, if you're looking to one person who's solid in their faith, it ought to be the guy in the spotlight on Sunday, right? And Wade was faithful and good. I mean, he really had a growing walk with God until the diagnosis came. His dad was diagnosed with cancer, 6 months to live. His dad, who had been a role model for him all of his life, who had been a godly man, his dad, who had won Wade to Christ, baptized Wade, and always lived a godly life, got a diagnosis that he would be dead in 6 months, but he died in 3. And Wade watched that happen, and he thought, how can I believe in a God that should love this faithful child of his, but would sit by and watch him die this death? And Wade couldn't reconcile it in his head, and Wade walked away from a relationship with God. And if you're kind of that way this morning, if you're someone who sort of walked away, maybe you were in it for a while and you're out, or maybe you just never really understood it in the first place and you have doubts, I just don't think it's for me. Listen to me, I want you to know this. If you don't know anything else, I want you to know this. It's the first blank on your page this morning if you're following along. If you doubt God, you're not alone. You are not alone. This is a very familiar scenario for a lot of people. And I want to assure you that in this body here, we're not shunners. We don't put out people who question their faith and what they believe. In fact, we'd a whole lot rather lean in together and ask questions and explore truth together than push anybody away. So I hope that what you find in this group is a group of people with open arms and loving hearts who are just exploring their walk with God together and want you to be part of it. So you're not alone. You're not alone. We're familiar with this question. In fact, the Bible describes people that have this question. There's one story that's really familiar to everybody that's in Scripture where someone came close to Jesus but ended up walking away. And I thought it'd be really good if we looked at this familiar story this morning and see if we can't find ourselves in this story, see if we can't learn something from this story. So let's look in the account written by Mark of Jesus' life. Mark chapter 10, here's what Mark describes for us. He says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good teacher, what must I do? He comes running to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Don't you wish this was your description, just running to Jesus? You know, those of us who are Jesus kind of people, you know, we've been in church, we have a thriving relationship with God. Boy, we want to be people who run to Jesus. But I don't think that's really the description of this guy. Sure, he comes running to Jesus, but I think he comes running to Jesus like we really come running to Jesus. See, I don't think most of us come running to Jesus in a sense of, you know, I want to lay my life down and you do what you will with me. I don't think that's how we come running. I don't think we come running saying, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I need you more in my life. I don't think that's how we come running to him. I think we come running to him the way this guy comes running to Jesus. We know he's a wealthy, well-to-do guy. He's a young ruler. And I think he's asking the wrong question. And I think he's coming and running to Jesus because, just like we do, we're always running. I think our problem is that we're always running. We never slow down enough and stop long enough to actually have a be still and know that I'm God moment. I think most of us spend all of our time running from one thing to the next, from here to there. We got deadlines, we got obligations, we got expectations, we got things to do, places to go, and we're always running from one thing to the next. And so on Sundays, we carve out time, we run to Jesus, and then we run to lunch. And we run on to the next thing and the next thing. And you know, God speaks to us in this 1 hour, but by Monday morning, we have run on to work and we have completely closed Jesus out, boxed him out of our life. By Monday, I think we're always running. And I think that's what this guy was doing. In fact, I think I can prove to you that he was running, because when he runs to Jesus, he asks, I think, the wrong question. He runs to Jesus, he kneels down, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think that's the wrong question. What must I do? I think this is our question as well. I think we run to Jesus hurriedly and we say, what must I do? Because let's be honest, it all comes down to you. What must I do? If it's going to get done, it's going to have to get done by you, right? If it's going to get taken care of, you have to take care of it. I mean, think about your life. Your family revolves around you, right? Your job and that business environment, it revolves around you. If it's going to get done, it's going to get done by you. If it's going to get taken care of, it's going to be taken care of by you. Only you know your needs and the needs of the people and the things around you, and only you can seem to make them happen. So it all revolves around you. It all comes down to you. You are the focal point of your universe. That's why all the commercials you see on television and all the ads you see online, all of them are about some product or service that will make you better. Right, they're all for you. Make you look better. Make you feel better. Make you drive cooler. Make you have a bigger house. It's all about you, how it'll benefit you. It's all about you being the center of your universe. Everything you see in the media comes around you and reinforces the idea that it's all about you. Shoot, we do that in church too, don't we? I mean, it's been about, I don't know, 150, 200 years now where church has kind of, I don't know, marketed the gospel, the redemption story of God in the world around you, right? You come to the front, you pray a prayer, and you have your eternal destiny settled, and you are done. You've got everything you need for eternity. Or we sell it as sort of a cure all of your ills sales pitch, right? You know, hey, if you come to Jesus, just come to Jesus, and you'll never have to worry about anything again. Amen? Oh, we love that kind of talk. Everything will be fine. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the... Yeah, that's true, right? Right, right? Is that true? Right. In fantasy land, that's true, but you and I all know that diagnosis is going to come one day. We all know that job loss is going to happen. We all know there's going to be cracks in the foundation of our marriages. Stand up and sing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, because Jesus cures all your ills. And then no wonder we walk away. No wonder we walk away, because we've been sold a bill of goods about the gospel that the gospel was never intended to fill in the first place. We've been telling everybody, it's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about you. And here's the shocker. Here's the big shocker. You might want to write this down. It's kind of big news, but according to Scripture, next blank on your page, this isn't about you. This isn't about who'd have thought. It's not about you. And it's not about me. Frankly, the purpose of your life is far bigger than you. It's far bigger than your personal fulfillment. It's far bigger than your peace of mind or even your happiness. It's bigger than your family, bigger than your career. The purpose of your life is even bigger than your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you exist in the first place, you got to start somewhere bigger than you. We need to start with God. You were created for something much bigger, much better. But Jesus doesn't go there right away. When this guy comes running and asking the question, I want Jesus to go like, dude, it's not about you. Not about you. What's your problem, dude? We want Jesus to set him straight, but Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus plays long game with this guy. Jesus starts just kind of teasing it out, playing long game. This guy's running, right? He's playing short game. He wants to know the answer now. What must I do? But Jesus says, no, let's play the long game on this. oh, I'll answer your question, but let's see what it is you're really asking. What must I do? Okay, you want to know what you must do? If it's all about you, then I'll give you the answer. Because, you know, I'm sure he's looking at this kid and he's like, you're a good Jewish boy. You're a good Jewish boy. You know what you must do. And Jesus tells him, he says, you know the commandments. And then Jesus starts rattling off commandments. Now, this is Jesus talking. And he's not like, you must turn from yourself and come to me, my child. That's not what he says. He says, oh, it's up to you. Oh, this is your thing. Oh, okay, well, if it's your thing, then you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not lie. You must not cheat. And you must honor your father and mother. Let me repeat that one time for the teenagers. You must honor your father and mother. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So, hey, you're a good Jewish boy. This must be all about you then. So if this is going to be about you and what must you do, then if it's really about you, then you must do everything that's required of you. You got to do everything that's required of you. And that's where we find you. I mean, isn't that where you are today? You're running from one thing to the next all the time because you're trying to fulfill all your requirements. You're trying to do everything that's expected and required of you, and you just keep running and you keep working, and there's never enough money. There's never enough time. There's never enough attention. There's never enough energy. I mean, I'm the pastor of a church. I'm supposed to be above that stuff. But how many nights do I get my computer out and I'm working on something at home? It's late at night. I'm just like, I just can't get to this. I just can't fulfill this requirement. I can't do this thing. I just can't make it. I just can't do all that. Jesus is pulling this on out. Is it up to you? Is it really up to you here? And so the good news of this guy, at least as far as he's concerned, is he didn't feel like I feel. He didn't feel like he was running and trying to take care of everything. In fact, he felt the opposite. He is, in fact, a good Jewish boy, because here's what he says. He says, teacher, I've obeyed all the commandments since I was young. I got this. Thank you so much for validating my belief that it is up to me and I have achieved. I've climbed up Mount Commandment and I've jammed my flag in the peak because I've conquered it for me. Right? He's made it to the top and he's done everything that is required by law. And that's when Jesus, yet again, teases this out a little bit farther. It's the moment where I want Jesus to go, okay, you get it. You've done everything well. Well done, good, faithful servant. Come into your rest. That's what I want Jesus to say here, but that's not what Jesus says. He says, you know what you got to do. You got to do everything right. The guy says, okay, I've done everything right. And Jesus says this, still one more thing you haven't done. Yeah. You've done all the commandments. You've obeyed them all, but there's still more. I know you and I never feel that way, right? You never feel like you've done it all, given yourself away. You've paid for everything. You've done everything, and you've given it all away, and you just get to the point where there's still more demanded of you. There's still more required of you. Have you ever gotten to that point where you just slam something down and say, it's never enough? Okay, maybe nobody's married in this room. Look at your spouse right now. Look at your spouse and say, is it ever enough? Just ask the question, is it ever enough? Spouse, don't answer. Don't answer that question. Just say, I love you no matter what. Okay, maybe it's not the spouse. Nobody in the room has kids. Because you and I both know it's never enough for the kids. Okay, maybe nobody here has a job or a boss. You know, because sometimes at work you feel like it's never enough. I mean, you've stayed up late, night after night. You've worked 16, 18 hours. You've put it all in. You've done all you can, and you just can't please anyone. It's never enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way sometimes, but I feel like sometimes I can never fulfill all my obligations and requirements. I know, Steve, you're supposed to be above this. You're supposed to be better than that. But I tell you, as the pastor of the church, sometimes I feel really, really inadequate. I feel really, really like I let you down. Because I get to church on Sunday and the sermon's not ready. Because I had other obligations the week that I had to do. Because I had places to go. Hey, my daughter's getting married, so she's coming to town this weekend. We have to make some plans and do some things. And I don't even go on that because I got other stuff I got to do. So, you know, I do what I can with her, then I do what I can. And I never get to everything. And I feel like sometimes it's just never enough. And here's Jesus looking at this guy saying, no, there's still more. There's still one more. There's still more you got to do. Why? Because obviously you're playing short game. You think this is all about you. You think this is all about you achieving or building or working or accomplishing. You think it's about climbing some mountain and jamming your flag, and you think it's about you, and if it's about you, and here's the next blank on your page, you will never be enough. You will never be enough. There's always going to be more. You'll never be able to earn your way to pleasing God. I asked it last week, why are you trying to please God? You can't even please your wife. Why are you trying to please God? You'll never be enough. There's always something more. This is brokenness. All of us are frustrated by this, and it's just never enough. And we see it all the time. We don't see it in ourselves as much, but we see it in others, right? We see people knowing it's not enough, so they're searching for more. You know, the celebrity that seems to have it all, yet they die from an overdose because they're looking for more. You know, or the coworker that you have who's cheating on their spouse, seem to have it all, but they're looking for more. You know, the athlete that wants to make a name for himself by protesting the very nation that makes his life possible because he wants more. It's easy to see in others, easy to see in others, but it's hard to identify in ourselves. I tell you when it's easiest to identify. Here's where you can find it the best. Lay in bed at night, just in the quiet of your home. And don't meditate, don't read the Bible. No. Just do what you do when you're laying in bed at night and scroll through your newsfeed. Scroll through your newsfeed. And oh, they just had a better vacation than I had. All right, scroll a little bit more. Oh, so-and-so just bought a nicer car than I've got. Oh, okay, scroll some more. Okay, well, this family is clearly a lot happier than my family is. This mom and dad are much more happy with their crew than I am with this crew right now. Scroll through your newsfeed and see if you won't feel like it's never enough. See, here's what science tells us. Science tells us that human beings don't get dissatisfied with their circumstances in and of themselves. That human beings have an amazing capacity for happiness in any circumstances. That's why you can go to places like Guatemala. I was there not too long ago. That's why you can go to places like Haiti, find impoverished people who have no hope for any future, but they're happy. They can find happiness in their circumstances. Why can't you? I mean, you got people happy in a mud hut eating a palm full of rice a day and happy. Why can't you be happy? I'll tell you what science tells us. It's not our circumstances. It's not where we are. The problem isn't our circumstances, what we do or don't have. The problem is our circumstances don't match up to our expectations. And we look on Facebook, we look on Instagram, and we see everybody else living what we think is this up here. And their story, their better story, seems to undermine my story. Because this is all about me, right? And so there's a gap between where I am and where I ought to be. And that's when human beings become dissatisfied. It's when we discover that it's not all about us. And we get unhappy and we're unfulfilled. Jesus is pointing to this. He's trying to tease this out with this kid. Oh, it's all about you? Well, let's explore that. What have you done? Oh, you've done everything right? Well, there's still more. He's exploring this idea that it's never going to be enough with this kid. The Apostle Paul kind of latched onto this idea, and he expressed it very succinctly when he wrote his letter to the church in Rome. And he says this. He says, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Everyone has sinned. We're all sinners. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. We fall short of God's glorious standard. So, God's standard for you is glorious. What He wants, what He expects for you is glorious. Now go get in your car and drive down the road. Is that a glorious experience? By LJ standards, maybe. Yeah. Or where you live, or how your relationships are going. I mean, can you describe your marriage as glorious? Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your spouse. Can you describe your marriage as glorious? Can you describe your relationship with your children as glorious? Can you describe your occupation as glorious? Can you describe the way that you drive down the highway as glorious in that car that you should have got rid of 10 years ago? God's standard for you is glorious. And there is a gap. We all fall short. And what must I do? What must I do to make up that gap? Well, there's always more. There's always more. You're never going to get there because we've all sinned. We are all sinners. We all fall short. God also tells us that the wages of sin isn't just kind of a, you know, misplaced expectations, but the wages of sin is death. Sin demands judgment. My crimes deserve punishment. The wages of sin is death. That's just the way that it is. And God is just because He will and He does punish sin. But the good news is that you don't have to take the punishment yourself. Because God so loved you that He sent His only Son to live here for 33 years, no sin of His own, and then He goes to the cross, and God takes all of my sin off of me. Amy, He takes it right off of me. He just lifts it away from me, and He puts it on Jesus, and Jesus took it for me. And He paid the price for my sin on the cross. He dies in my place, and I'm free to live with Him. I'm free to live the glory that He wants for me. That's what He does for me. It's up to you. Oh, what must you do? There's always more. But look what He just did. Look what He has done for you. Why are you trusting in what must I do when Jesus says to us, look what I've done. Huh? So Jesus, okay, let's go back to the conversation. Jesus is having this conversation with this guy, and He's like, one more thing, one more thing. Well, did you ever want to know what the one more thing was? Here it is. Jesus tells him, you got to do one more thing. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. He's telling the guy, listen, if it's up to you, You gotta not just do everything, but you gotta do everything that you could never do. Because who can do that? Can you? Can you take care of your kids after you give everything away and follow Jesus? Thank you, kid. And birthday's coming, I bet. Yeah. That's right. So He says it'll never be enough. And then in verse 22, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He says, well, clearly this isn't all about me. But he says, I'm pretty wealthy and there is a lot of me. so I'm going to keep it all about me. And so he walks away with his own small story that, as far as we're concerned, ends with he walked away, and it's over. We know no more of the story. It's that insignificant. It's that small. It ended with him, and we don't know anything about it. And that's because, next blank on your page, without God, there's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no greater reason for being. There's no bigger story to be part of. Think about it. Without God, all of this, including the rain, is an accident. Right? It's all an accident. Think about it. Without God, all we are is residue from an explosion that happened billions of years ago. You and I are just debris flying out into the darkness from an explosion. That's all we are without God. Everything is an accident, a chance happening. No meaning, no purpose, nothing bigger, nothing better, nothing beyond this. So you better make it all about you. Without God, you better make it all about you, because whatever it is, without God, whatever it is, ends with you. And it's over. But if God is real, then the opposite is true. None of this is an accident, right? All of it was created by God on purpose, by His plan. And He is telling a story about Himself, a much bigger, better story. That means that you were uniquely designed and lovingly chosen to play a part in His better story. That means that you were created with a purpose, and the only way you're going to find that purpose is to connect to His bigger thing. Isn't that amazing? Is that you're not a random happenstance. You are on purpose, designed to fill a role chosen by God. So there's another group in Scripture that you can find that asks this same question. It's the same question, but yet it's a very different question. Jesus is crucified, He rises again, He spends about 40 days doing miracles, doing some more teaching, then He leaves to go to heaven. Later, the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples, just falls and just gets all over them. And they start talking Jesus talk, man. They start preaching it. They go out in the street, and Peter, I don't know if you know anything about Peter, but he just talked nonsense most of his life. Yeah, he goes out, and he begins to preach the gospel, and he tells everybody, there's a better story. There's a bigger story for you to be part of, and you need to connect to it. And so he explains the story about how Jesus came to give you a better story, but you killed him. And that's kind of how his sermon ends. Like, oh, downer. But God used Peter's sermon, and here's what happened next. Look at this. Peter's words pierced their hearts, the people that were listening. Peter's words, the gospel, the truth, pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? You hear that? What should we do? It's almost the exact same question, yet it's a very different question. The first guy that asked the question of Jesus asked it in the middle of running from one thing to the next, wanting to come and quick kneel before Jesus, add Jesus to the stuff, and then run on to something else. But in this case, they heard the truth and their hearts were pierced. This question comes from a very different context of a heart. And because they had pierced hearts, they asked the question, what should we do? And Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent is just the biblical word for turn. It means to say, I'm telling myself the wrong story. I've been lying to myself and saying this is all about me. I've been telling a really, really small, stupid story. And I'm not going to tell that story anymore. I'm going to turn away from that story, and I'm going to step into a much better story. So Peter's saying you must do that. You must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen, we need God. I'm convinced that we need God, or else why even be? I love this. I want to go back to that part that Paul wrote in Romans 3 that you looked at earlier. He says, for all have sinned. I love this passage. I'm going to show the whole passage here that he gives because he really articulates this super, super well. He says this, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. You've been working, you've been trying, you've been telling your own little story, and he frees you from that. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sin. Jesus has paid it for you. And people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. I love this because it says that faith is about believing that Jesus' sacrifice in my place on the cross is good enough. It's not some belief in some mystical, magical, oh, I believe that Jesus, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. It's not just some vague, undefined thing. It's believing that what he did was good enough. What you did, never good enough. But what he did, always good enough. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. Not you yourself, he himself is fair and just, and he makes me right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we've done anything? What must I do? Can we boast in what must I do to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, climbing Mount Obedience. It's based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. In other words, last blank on your page, your story only works as part of his story. Your story has no meaning and no purpose in and of itself unless connected to him. And it's part of a story about him, not about you. What story does your life tell? Are you part of his story? Or are you telling your own little story? Let's pray about it together. God, thank you so much that you give us a better story. Thank you so much, Lord, that our story looks appealing, it looks good, and might kind of puff us up a little bit, but Lord, your story is eternal. Your story is way better. And Father, we want to live your story every day of our lives. God, make us people telling your story at work, in school, at home, in our neighborhood. Lord, I pray that everything we say and do would be to your glory and for your name's sake. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've been telling the wrong story. And maybe you've been asking the question, what must I do? But you've been asking it from a run. And maybe right now, the Holy Spirit is piercing your heart. And maybe right now is your time to step into a new story. And if that's you today, I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer that just kind of follows along with what Peter said, to repent, to turn to God, and be baptized. I'd love to lead you in a simple prayer that starts that journey for you, that you can pray right where you sit. You don't have to come up here and make a spectacle of yourself. You can pray right there because guess what? Jesus comes all the way to you. And so if that's you today, pray this prayer with me right where you sit quietly. It goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I've broken your heart by breaking your law. And God, I'm sorry. I've been telling the wrong story. And I don't want to tell that story anymore. Please forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Lord, as best as I know how, I want to live for you. I want to tell your story. I know I need to change, but I can't. So I need you to please come into my life and change me, make me new. I want to walk in your new story. I want my life to point to you. I know I'll never be the same because I'm yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.